This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning. It is 7:01. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Ted Woodward. Steve McIntosh has the day off. It is Wednesday, November 5th. We'll be taking a look at the longest government shutdown.
A Rock Hill school teacher has been suspended. I'm Dan O'Neill.
Currently in Wichita, a bit of a gusty wind out of the north. It is 51 degrees here on this Wednesday morning. Our full weather forecast is on the way live with Storm Team 12 Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen coming up. The federal government shutdown has now broken the all-time record.
At 36 days, the U.S. is now in the midst of the longest government shutdown in history. Republicans have tried over a dozen times to pass a stopgap measure to reopen the government until November 21st, but now Majority Leader John Thune says a new date is needed.
We've lost 5 weeks, so the November 21 deadline no longer makes a lot of sense. So clearly it would have to be extended. And there is a conversation around what that next deadline would be.
Discussions are underway on a deal to reopen the government and come to an agreement on the Affordable Care Act tax credits, which have been a sticking point for Democrats. On Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
While property tax frustrations and low voter turnout did lead to some uphill climbs for Kansas school districts wanting bond issues for improvements, yesterday on election night, got a few wins for public schools in Mulvane and Arkansas City, but for some other districts, back to the drawing board. In Mulvane, voters giving the green light to about a $42 million bond issue, including a mix of new construction and upgrades. That yes vote followed a bond issue rejection in Mulvane in April, but they approved it last night. In Arkansas City, voters approving a two-part bond issue. That's for about $67 million. However, bond questions did fail in several other Kansas school districts last night, most notably in Hutchinson, where voters overwhelmingly rejected a $109 million bond issue, 75% voting no. And in Wellington, voters narrowly rejected an approximate $22 million bond issue. Amazon is preparing to expand its facility in Bel Air by the end of the year and hire about 100 more workers. That facility is near 53rd North in Greenwich. It serves as the final step before Amazon packages are delivered. A building permit was issued for more than $10 million in improvements earlier this year. A teacher in the Rock Hills School District in Mankato in Kansas says she has been placed on leave.
Janae Ryan told her news partners at Channel 12 that she is now on paid leave from the district and that she has been asked to resign. Ryan did not specify what led to her suspension, but claims that no illegal activities were involved. Meanwhile, district officials have refused to comment. Ryan remains listed on the faculty page for the Rock Hills School District as a high school ag teacher and FFA sponsor. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Former Democratic Representative Abigail Spanberger is going to be the next governor of Virginia. It's widely considered an early signal about how voters are feeling about President Donald Trump.
According to his Fox News polling, two-thirds of Spanberger supporters reported that they cast their vote for her as a way to oppose President Trump. Interestingly, one-third of Sears voters did so to support the president. Now, Spanberger held a victory party here in Richmond last night. She won by 15 points. She celebrated a campaign that fought off down-ballot controversy. And as Virginia's first female governor, she made a promise to unite. Lieutenant Governor Earl Sears, in her closing message last night, told supporters that she will work to help Spanberger in any way she can in order to make sure that Virginia is successful.
That's Fox's Alexandria Hoff with those details from Richmond, Virginia. The Peck Pig Palace Rescue and Sanctuary is asking for donations in Peck, Kansas, just to the west of Mulvane. Specifically, they want pumpkins and gourds left over from Halloween. They're repurposing those special treats to help feed the rescue's potbelly pigs and help people recycle their pumpkins. Peck Pig Palace is west of Mulvane. It's a safe place for potbelly pigs who have been abandoned or just need a home. It's been around for 13 years, and the rescue serves as a home for 20 pigs. There are also dogs, cats, chickens, a pony, and a mule mix. If you're interested in donating, pumpkins, gourds, and straw may be taken to the rescue. It's at 207 West 111th Street South in Peck, Kansas. And there's here in Wichita, there's also a drop-off location on the northwest side of town, 2639 North Keith Street. The pumpkins and supplies at that drop-off are going to be split between the Mount Hope Animal Sanctuary and the Peck Pig Palace. At least 66 people now confirmed have died after a typhoon struck the Philippines.
Dozens remain missing in the wake of Typhoon Kalmegi. It's caused widespread flooding, sweeping away cars and trapping residents on their roofs. Most of the deaths were in the central province of Cebu, but six people died when a helicopter crashed in the southern Philippines while trying to bring humanitarian aid. The U.S. ambassador there, Mary Kay Carlson, says the United States stands ready to assist. There's been public outrage in recent months over a corruption scandal involving substandard flood defenses. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
Well, did we have a winner in the Mega Millions last night? Well, we'll find out. Plus, we'll be checking in live with Storm Team 12 Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen and get our weather forecast here right in the middle of the week on this Wednesday. KNSS News Time is 7:07. It's 7:10 with Steve and Ted in the morning here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Well, no jackpot winner in last night's Mega Millions drawing.
No winner of the $800 million jackpot means it grows to at least $843 million for Friday night. That's a cash option if you win of $391.7 million and the eighth biggest Mega Millions jackpot of all time. The numbers drawn Tuesday night were 11, 14, 17, 50, 57, and a Mega Ball of 6. There's been no Mega Jackpot winner since June 27th when one winner in Virginia won $348 million. The Powerball jackpot is also continuing to grow, now standing at $438 million for Wednesday night's drawing. Ted Lindner, Fox News.
It's 7:11 with Steve and Ted here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
We have a stalled out vehicle now. It's causing a slowdown. You'll want to watch out for this. This is on K96 and it's right there near some road construction. It's eastbound on K96 between Hillside and Oliver. So just a little ways past, cause it's closer to Hillside, a little ways past some of that road construction, but, traffic in that area already starting to back up. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
And here on this Wednesday morning, let's get the live forecast. Storm Team 12 with Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning to you, Ted. It's shaping up to be a nice day today here in South Central Kansas. The wind is probably what you're going to notice first this morning, but it's going to keep going down throughout the day, so that'll be a nice trend for us. And we're looking at 66 on the high temperature today, which, of course, is not as warm as it was yesterday, but then we have to remind ourselves, oh, yeah, it's November, so I guess we should have something a little bit cooler. So, again, 66 is where I think we'll end up later on today. We'll drop to 42 overnight. We still get to 70 degrees tomorrow, and Friday looks like another nice day with a high of 69. But a lot of talk about the cold that's coming in this weekend because it will be our coldest shot of air this fall season, and it will start moving in on Saturday. The wind is going to be ramping up in the afternoon, gust up to around 30 or 35 miles an hour, and although we still get to about 60 degrees on Saturday, it's Sunday's forecast that will have you wanting to maybe disconnect the garden hoses and make sure that you're already thinking teens and 20s on the low temperature, because that's where we're heading Sunday night into Monday. So it will no doubt be a killing freeze. I mean, we've been kind of able to escape some of the coldest weather so far, but I think by the time we get to Monday morning, we're down to about 22 or 23 degrees. And although it is going to be turning cold, no sign of any rainfall coming up the next 7 or 8 days. Right now, the next storm that might be coming in to bring us some changeable weather and chances for rain, perhaps some thunderstorms too, would reach us next weekend. So we're still about a week and a half away from that. But boy, a lot of cold air starting to show up as we head into the weekend, and it will probably hang around for a couple of days. Right now, 48 degrees in Wichita. We have sunshine. That's your Storm Team 12 forecast. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen.
That stuff on Sunday and Monday, is that just coming cold air straight down from Canada?
Yep, straight out of Canada, and it'll, again, probably be around for about 48 hours before someone, you know, we'll say Steve, says goodbye and pushes it out of here. Maybe Michael Schwenke. Yeah.
Hey, did May the weather dog did May get her I voted sticker yesterday?
She did. You know, she supports all that stuff, so she was out and about, and she also votes for less wind and mild weather.
I figured she had a platform. Yeah.
We often think that she could run for public office and she'd probably win.
Probably so. All right. Hey, it's good to check in with you. Thanks for the update, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Thanks, Ross.
Thank you.
That is the live forecast from Storm Team 12 with Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen every weekday morning this time right here with Steve and Ted on KNSS. It is 7:14 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. We're going way back. 420 years ago on this day.
Yeah, that's way back.
The big gunpowder plot failed.
Oh, remember.
Guy Fawkes, yes.
5th of November.
Was seized before he could blow up Parliament in London. Can you imagine? That would...
Yeah.
That's what his idea was. He and his co-conspirators were later convicted of treason and hanged. So that was the gunpowder plot. Would have been 420 years ago on this day. They were going to blow up Parliament, and it failed.
Yeah.
So this is that. Yeah, this is that day, like you said, Jeff.
Guy Fawkes Day, and mm-hmm. I'd almost forgotten that. Yeah.
What happened 1 year ago on this day?
1 year ago on Guy Fawkes Day.
It was Election Day.
Oh yeah.
1 year ago today, President Trump was elected to a second term, defeating Vice President Kamala Harris. Of course, Trump, only the second U.S. president ever to have non-consecutive terms.
Oh, yeah.
Grover
yeah.
Cleveland mm-hmm. did this so in the late 1800s. 1 year ago today, Election Day, Trump defeating Harris in the election. All right, what was going on? A little more lower history. What was going on in Wichita 90 years ago today?
90 years ago, but specifically in Wichita.
Well, yeah, it was in Wichita. What was the big deal? Well, of course, we're right in the middle of the Great Depression.
Right.
And the big project in Wichita, funded by the WPA, the Works Progress Administration, the big project was we had gotten rid of the streetcars. So we needed men to tear up all those iron rails all over Wichita streets.
Okay, we had to get rid of the streetcar rails.
Had to
rails.
Get rid of the streetcar train tracks all over the place. So 90 years ago, we had 700 men reporting for work for four WPA projects in Wichita. The big one was 500 of those men tearing up 14 miles of train tracks, iron rails, which was the last of the city's 33-mile streetcar system. Which wow. they abandoned and got rid of.
It is amazing to think that we had 30 miles of streetcars.
In the 30s, yeah, we had 30.
In Wichita.
Yeah, they were all over the place.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and so they decided in the 30s to get rid of it and go to buses, and then they had to tear up the streets and get rid of those rails. Much of the work was being done in downtown where they were double tracks. So, you got going each way on Main Street, on Douglas. And they were tearing up all that. Two shifts were working of those men to expedite the removal. So that was the big project. One of the other projects, they had routed Washington Street under the Kellogg Viaduct.
Right, right.
That was one of the big projects. And another one was they were paving Kellogg from in the College Hill neighborhood from Crestway to Oliver.
Oh, okay.
So we're getting Kellogg paved as far east as Oliver in the 1930s. Yeah.
And, of course, that has continued on this day.
Yes, yeah. You're correct. That project continues today. They've got the next phase going on, taking us out to Andover.
Andover. That's still going.
That project, 90 years later, is still going.
Basically.
So that's what's going. That was going on in Wichita 90 years ago in the year 1935. All right, let's see what's going on in sports here with Steve and Ted. And we had college men's basketball last night, season opener for the Shockers and for the Kansas State Wildcats. Starting in Wichita here at Coke Arena, 5,300 fans. See the Shocks open up against UNC Asheville. Of course, a lot of new faces on the Shocker roster and getting to know them a little bit, including we got a good look at a guy named Kenyon Giles, a senior last night who had a pretty big splash in his Wichita State debut. Of course, Mike Kennedy and Dave Dahl had the call of the game on 103.7 KEYN.
Dre Kendall to play it in from the baseline in the left corner to Giles. Penetrates, got a shot.
Whoa!
Away, and a foul.
How does that go in?
He was pinned between two defenders, got it away, made the shot, has a chance for a three-point play.
Well, that certainly made an impression on Shocker fans. Kenyon Giles, 20 points on 50% shooting, and he had four steals, too. Pretty good debut for the Shocks right there. And the Shocker defense was all over it, especially in the second half, forcing 16 turnovers for the game, 8 block shots, 11 steals. Hey, the Shockers get the win. They beat Asheville 75-58. 7 straight years, the Shockers win the season opener. Let's go to Manhattan last night. 7,700 fans on hand to see Kansas State open up against UNC Greensboro. K-State was trailing at halftime. Not trailing at the end of the game, though. K-State put up 60 points in the second half. You heard the game last night on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Ball is loose. K-State's got it. Kamari McGriff. There's the lob for Johnson. Johnson stops. Stuffs. Got rid of a man and stuffed it home. He's got 13. Cats by 10. 53-43.
K-State put up 60 points after halftime and beat Greensboro 93-64. You heard that bucket there by senior Nate Johnson. He finished with, he almost had a triple-double. 22 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. That's a nice stat line right there. As K-State wins its season opener in Manhattan last night. If you want to know what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs, it's the weekly edition of the Chiefs Kingdom Show, hosted by the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. That's at 6 o'clock tonight over on KFH. Chiefs are coming off that loss to the Buffalo Bills, and they're stewing about it as it's a bye week. So, see what happens tonight. If you want to know what's going on with the Chiefs, tune into the Chiefs Kingdom Show at 6 o'clock tonight over on KFH. High school boys soccer. The Final Four in all classes is tonight. In Class 6A, right here in town, Wichita Southeast hosting Shawnee Mission East. Southeast 18-1 on the season into the Final Four. That'll be at 6 o'clock tonight. In Class 5A, Mays South with only one loss on the season hosting DeSoto at 6 o'clock. And Newton is on the road at Blue Valley Southwest. And among the smaller schools, you've got Rose Hill at home tonight in the Final Four hosting Bishop Miege. Rose Hill is 17-2. And on the other side of that bracket, you've got Classical School of Wichita on the road in Baldwin at 7 o'clock tonight, that game at Baker University. All right, good luck to all our local boys soccer teams in the Final Four tonight, trying to get to the championship game. Little Shocker football history from this day. It was 70 years ago on this day, homecoming for the Shockers at Veterans Field, their 21st and Hillside. And the Shockers got a big win over Cincinnati, scoring a couple of touchdowns in the second half and beat the Bearcats 20-16. At that point, the Shockers had won 4 of their last 5. 13,000 were at that game as the Shockers improved to 5-2-1 on the season. A great year for the Shocks, 1955. That was 70 years ago today. The Shockers got their homecoming win over Cincinnati right here in town. And a happy birthday today to former Wichita Wings soccer star Perry Vanderbeck. He's 66 today. Guy that's from the St. Louis area. Midfielder for the Wings for 4 years in the late 80s and early 90s. Happy birthday to former Wings soccer star Perry Vanderbeck. His birthday, he is 66 today. That's sports with Steve and Ted. And sports is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company. Now featuring the Cooperstown Pizza. With a sriracha cream cheese base, topped with chicken, bacon, mushrooms, and mozzarella. The Cooperstown is now available in a lunch or a full size at Wichita Brewing Company. That's pizza and beer made here. It is 7:23 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Got a traffic and weather update on the way, and more people are taking action to preserve their gut health. We'll find out more on that on House Call for Health. That's next on KNSS.
SS.
Good morning. It is 7:30, and you are listening to, I'm just 7:31. You are listening to 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. It is Wednesday, November 5th. Currently in Wichita, a bit of a gusty wind. It is 51 degrees with wind out of the north. Election day yesterday in Sedgwick County. Voter turnout, slow but steady. Just under 9% turnout reported by the election office. Election Commissioner Laura Rainwater said nearly 18,000 people voted in person yesterday. About 4,700 voting by mail, about 5,800 voting early in person. But in total, you had more than 28,000 people yesterday casting ballots under a 9% turnout. The Sedgwick County District Attorney is looking for help to store the ever-increasing amount of video evidence from body cams and other sources. D.A. Mark Bennett spoke with county commissioners during a staff meeting, recommending a program that would allow for unlimited storage and the ability to handle cases in a timely manner.
Something has to happen. We're going to need this. We cannot keep doing business as we are. The only other alternative that I really have is to say I will make a pitch for many, many more FTEs over the next few years because we either get a software that will help us or we have the people to do it.
And that program does come with a $200,000 price tag for just the first year. Commissioners said they would like to act quickly on this issue. Of course, Sedgwick County voters headed to the polls election day yesterday. County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News, election day is a big deal with people voting for city council and school board seats.
You're talking about school bonds. You're talking about how we deal with reading and math levels that are insufficient and falling. We're going to talk about how we deal with the future of the largest city in the state of Kansas, being the city of Wichita. So this is a big deal. We need people engaged. This is where government works for you and impacts you the most is on the local level.
Ryan Beatty commenting during his weekly appearance on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS. Voters in two states casting ballots yesterday on voter ID laws.
Maine and Texas becoming the latest states to get involved in a nationwide Republican push to enact stricter voter ID laws. On Tuesday, Texas voters approved a measure to amend the state's constitution, preventing non-citizens from voting in the state's elections. Meantime, voters in Maine rejected a sweeping proposal that would have implemented a voter ID requirement for voters, limited the use of drop boxes for completed ballots, and made a bunch of changes to the state's absentee voting system. Proponents said the initiatives would safeguard elections, while opponents say they make voting more difficult. Additional states are expected to take up the issue next year. Sue Guzman, Fox News.
A federal judge expected to make a decision today about accusations of terrible living conditions at the federal immigration facility in Broadview, Illinois.
After listening to the allegations, the federal judge hearing this case called the treatment inhuman. No working showers, clogged toilets, crowded and cold rooms, and the same ham sandwich for every meal. That's just some of what men and women who have spent the night in Broadview describe. They say they often had to sleep sitting up in plastic chairs or on the floor. And one man says bright lights were on around the clock. At least two attorneys representing clients who are part of this lawsuit also testified, saying it was virtually impossible to get in touch with them.
And that's Fox 32 Chicago's Casey Cronus with that report. Now let's take a look at our weather forecast with Storm Team 12 meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Sunny, breezy, and a bit cooler today, though our high of 67 is well above the normal. It's not quite the 74 we had on Tuesday. Northeast winds 15 to 25 and gusty. Clear and cool tonight, 42 is the low. Sunshine and 70 on Thursday, near 70 on Friday. It will turn much colder this weekend. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
And currently in Wichita, a bit of a gusty wind out of the north. We're under a sunny sky. It is 51 degrees here at Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 7:35 with Steve and Ted on KNSS. And about this time yesterday morning, we were getting that breaking news that former U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney had passed away. Let's check in with Fox News Radio's Evan Brown in Miami this morning. And Evan, news that that we got yesterday morning as we talked about, and a guy that even when he was in office, people were worried about his health and his heart.
Oh, yeah. He was not a healthy man, Vice President Cheney. He had his first of five heart attacks at age 37. Think about that. Mm. And he would have four more later on in his life. He had one in the aftermath of the 2000 election, where we were wondering who actually won it. You know, with the George W. Bush versus Al Gore recounts and whatnot. And he would eventually be outfitted with a pacemaker defibrillator, and he would even get a heart transplant in 2012, and that alleviated a lot of his problems. But by that time, you know, he was later on in life. But he lived, I guess it's 13 years with it, with the transplanted heart. And his cause of death, I think, is related to pneumonia and complications from being sick. But he was 84 years old. So in that regard, he really did beat the odds. You know, most people with severe heart problems don't survive 5 heart attacks.
And I guess I'd forgotten he got that transplant.
Yeah.
The
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As we look back now, we start to think about what type of legacy does he leave behind?
Well, certainly, I think whatever we're thinking now is going to be different from people who review history, you know, 50 or 100 years from now. That's usually how things work out. But he was a very polarizing figure, no doubt. He was very controversial. He was the paragon of the war hawk in the old Republican Party, the pre-Trump Republican Party. And he was very much a proponent of using the U.S. military's force in a very proactive manner, meaning go fight your enemies on their land before they get a chance to come here. And that was very well illustrated in the post 9/11 world. He was vice president on 9/11, right? And he was influential, along with Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense at the time, and some other figures in the Bush administration, to not only reply to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda hiding out in Afghanistan, but then go to another American enemy and remove him. And that was Saddam Hussein and the war in Iraq, which a lot of people now in hindsight say was perhaps not the best idea. And we didn't accomplish our goals. We were sold the war with the idea that we could dethrone Saddam Hussein in a matter of weeks, that we would be greeted as liberators with parades and flowers, and that they would build their own democracy. They were just waiting for the chance. We didn't have to get involved there long term. Obviously, none of that happened. And so, yeah, there's going to be great study about his influence and his ideas and whether or not they were right or right in all situations or wrong in some situations. Again, we should just remember in this very early time since his passing that he was a husband and a father. And a grandfather, and there's a family in mourning, and he spent the majority of his life in public service and only a few years in the private sector at Halliburton. But his life should stand as it is, and you should look at it that way.
And a guy that someone who, as U.S. vice president, a role that sometimes is more of a figurehead or a placeholder or whatever you want to call it. But,
yeah.
but a guy that has been described as one of the more active and meaningful vice presidents in recent decades.
Well, he was very much the technocrat. You know, he had a skill set and an expertise in certain areas. And President Bush, 43, availed himself of that. You know, the only real spelled out role for the vice president in the Constitution is two things. One is to become president if the presidency is vacated for some reason. The other thing is the one thing that vice presidents almost seemingly never actually do is to preside over the Senate. Right. They show up if there's a tie, but they don't sit there day and day, you know, keeping the Senate in line. So often vice presidents are tasked with a bunch of other things, and either they do them or they don't do them, depending on how things play out. But in this case, in the post 9/11, and of course Cheney was vice president when 9/11 happened, his expertise was tapped into, and he took a very outsized role in crafting the policy going forward.
Evan, what's the big news in Miami? Did you have a mayoral election yesterday?
We had a very interesting mayoral election yesterday. There were 13 candidates. One of the candidates was a former mayor who happens to also be the father of the current outgoing mayor. There was another former mayor also running whose brother was running for city council. We didn't even get a result yesterday. There's now a runoff between two people. So that'll be in December. And maybe. Now, the funny thing is that all of this fighting political fighting is over a part-time job. The mayor of the city of Miami is a part-time, nonpartisan position.
Is that kind of like your position at Fox?
No. Mine is a nonpartisan, full-time, right. and overtime position. Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, that's the way that works out. Hey, Evan, thanks for checking in with us, and have a great day.
You're welcome. Take care.
That's Fox News Radio's Evan Brown, live in Miami this morning, as we talked about the passing of former U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney. Good information there from Evan Brown. Thank you. It is 7:41 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Coming up, we'll be taking a look at... we've got a big prize that Odyssey Radio's giving away, so we'll talk about that a little bit.
Really
and
good.
We do have a Wichita Business Journal update coming from Kirk Seminoff, the editor at the Business Journal. So we'll be hitting that as well. KNSS News Time is 7:42.
This is 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
It's 7:46 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. We do have that Wichita Business Journal update from the Wichita Business Journal coming up. Editor Kirk Seminoff, and he's going to tell us something about a restaurant chain in Wichita. We have one on the east side, getting one on the west side. We'll find out what that is with Kirk coming up shortly. Now, Steve and Ted, it is time for three big things. Election day yesterday on the Wichita City Council, term limits opening up the door for a new member. And there are two other contested races, and the incumbents won both of those. The federal government shutdown now breaks the all-time record, 36 days and counting. College men's basketball, the Shockers and the Kansas State Wildcats both win their season openers last night. That's three big things with Steve and Ted, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
And right now in traffic, well, the traffic volume's still pretty high. We've got some really heavy traffic now southbound on I-135 up by the North Junction, as well as eastbound on K-96 approaching the north, northbound on I-235 approaching eastbound K-96 if you're on that ramp from one to the other. Things are really starting to back up there quite a bit. We also have a stalled out vehicle. It's northbound on I-235 between Broadway and MacArthur. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. The Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
And we'll be taking a look at our weather forecast here. Let's see what's going to happen today. A gusty wind out of the north on a cooler day. High of 67 under a sunny sky. Clear and cool tonight with an overnight low down to 42. And then tomorrow on Thursday, another sunny day, high tomorrow, 70. Currently in Wichita, we do have a sunny sky, a bit of a gusty wind out of the north. It is 51 degrees, and we're on our way to a high today of 67. Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Weather is brought to you by the Monarch. Hey, the patio is ready and waiting for you whiskey lovers at the Monarch. And with temperatures in the 60s and 70s, the weather is perfect for a taste of all your favorites. Hey, bring your friends to the Monarch. West Douglas in historic Delano. What a great place to hang out, the Monarch. Well, here we are on this Wednesday, November 5th.
It's November 5th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Donut Day.
Donuts.
Whether you're a fan of jelly, glaze, chocolate frosted, or Boston cream, today is the day you can allow yourself to have an extra donut with your morning cup of coffee or for dessert after lunch. Make sure you keep an eye on what your local donut shop is doing to celebrate, as many of the national chains offer giveaways to customers so everyone can enjoy the sweet treat. And if you're at work, check your local break room. I bet there's a box in there right now. Also on this date, in 1935, game maker Parker Brothers launches the game that still has many of us fighting over who gets to be the top hat or wondering why the thimble was ever part of the now classic board game Monopoly. And in 2015, the Collins Dictionary names binge watch as the word of the year, followed close behind by the term transgender. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
It's 7:50 with Steve and Ted here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Well, we got a looks like we got a little East Side West Side restaurant thing going on in Wichita for another franchise. Let's find out what's going on with that, and let's check in and get a local business update with Wichita Business Journal editor Kirk Siminoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Ted. If you're a fan of Firebird's wood-fired grill steaks on the East Side at the waterfront, take note. The restaurant chain is opening a second location on the West Side. Firebirds will build new at 2824 North Mays Road, which at one point was going to be home to a Slim Chickens location, but not anymore. Firebirds will start its $1.5 million project on Mays Road in March with hopes of firing up opening night steaks before the end of 2026. Firebirds is a 25-year-old restaurant chain with 56 locations in 20 states and was founded by a pair of former Wichitans, Dennis Thompson and Doug Glendenning. They sold the chain many years ago. The Commodore high-rise on Broadway, just north of Central, has been for sale, but there's been no deal made for the $2.75 million asking price. So now the nine-story building is going up for auction. The auction will be online November 17th through 19th with a starting bid of $450,000. The owner, California-based Pacific Sands, hopes to get a final bid of $2 million or more. The Commodore was built as a hotel in 1929 and in recent years has been turned into 94 units of apartments. It's a fixer-upper, though, as the building has been vacant for 2 years because of flooding from broken pipes and problems with bricks falling from the exterior. And Wichita's Guadalupe Clinic has raised $1 million in its attempt to expand patient services in light of recent growing patient volumes and changes to Medicaid. That includes a $100,000 gift from Ascension Via Christi announced this week. Guadalupe's eventual goal is $1.8 million to add six new patient rooms and dental services. The 40-year-old nonprofit provides free and low-cost health care for uninsured patients in the area. Guadalupe has not had significant updating to its facility in 25 years, and in the past 2 years, patient volume has increased by 35%. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Siminoff.
Yeah, you talk about the Firebirds going on the west side now. I guess that's the big plan. What do you have a dream restaurant that you would like to see come to town?
Well, no, I really don't. We have we supposedly have the Cheesecake Factory mm-hmm. coming. I'm a simple man, Ted. I don't really need a lot. Give me a good taco place, and I'm happy.
You're ready to go. Of course, I ask that question selfishly because that sets me up to answer that myself. OPH, the Original Pancake House. I'm still trying to get some franchisee to get interested in getting that here to town. Just the most amazing breakfast ever.
Where's the closest place?
They're all over. They're in Dallas. They're in Denver. They're in St. Louis, but they're not here.
Hmm.
So I'm still trying to see if I can get somebody interested in that.
Do you spend a lot of time on that?
Yes. I'm very sad and lonely as well. So that's what I spend my time doing. All right. So we had that report on before we talked to you about the Monopoly pieces.
Yes.
Which Monopoly piece were you when you played Monopoly?
I had to be the race car, or I didn't want to play. So,
okay.
What about you?
Very understandable. I top hat.
Uh huh.
I always wanted to be the top hat. Never want to be the thimble.
Oh no.
Never want to be the wheelbarrow.
I would be the horse on occasion. The man on the horse.
And then it was like the little dog, a little terrier. I never was that. And that thing had little skinny legs that always fell over.
It was kind of a status symbol. You don't want to fall over as you go by Park Place.
You do not want to do that. You don't want that dog falling over on Baltimore. All right. another terribly shallow conversation between the two of us, but I think it did its job.
That's what our friendship is built on.
Exactly. So it has been fulfilled once again. Well, Kirk, thanks for checking in with us with a business update, and we'll talk to you an hour from now.
You got it.
All right, there he goes, editor from the Wichita Business Journal, Kirk Siminoff. And we'll get some more local business news from Kirk coming up 1 hour from now. It is 7:55 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. We've got a big 8 o'clock hour on the way, and that does include entertainment news in the blur.
That's right. Putting together the blur right now, and we've got somebody who's receiving a knighthood and something else that has to do with Buckingham Palace. We'll tell you all about that coming up in the blur.
Looking forward to it. Big 8 o'clock hour on the way with all the news you need, including some election results from yesterday and how that affects the Wichita City Council. It's 7:55 with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.